You moons sure can party!
All right, let's just both talk for a second here just so we can get a quick line level check here.
Okay, that sounds fine with me.
Okay, so we're going to do a Dorktide podcast. This is about the level I think I'm going to talk for the majority of it.
Probably, unless I need to yell about something.
I'm going to try to minimize my yelling.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously I can't make any guarantees. I am known as the wild cannon in certain
circles.
He's a
wild card?
The
yeah.
Porno community. No, wild cannon in the porno community. That's my name.
That's news to me.
Okay. We'll keep it short. What time do you have to leave?
Like four-ish.
Four-ish? We can make this a 20-minuter for sure.
Covering all the movies this summer. This is the Dorkside Podcast making bold statements. I'm pretty sure we did like an hour and a half on Star Wars alone.
That's true. And also we've been away for 6 months. We haven't done a podcast in forever. So.
This is true. Our two fans are really upset.
Both of them. Melody, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, our bad. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dorkside Podcast. This is, of course, recorded at Dark Side Records at 611 Dutchess Turnpike in Poughkeepsie, New York. We're a record store, but we're also kind
of
nerdy.
A bunch of fucking nerds.
So this is our podcast dedicated to all things nerdy. No music, unless
Except
it's nerdy music.
Except for Eminem in the background.
Yeah. I'm so sorry for all the licensing fees we're going to have to pay for this. Maybe I'll sneak some background music in so you can't hear the artist that I'm sure gets paid a lot to have their music licensed.
Probably. Yeah. And Suicide Squad.
Ironically, it's the Suicide Squad soundtrack.
It is. That seems appropriate.
And that's the topic for this episode.
It is the latest, really the last of the summer blockbusters to come out.
Yeah. Last podcast, we talked about
everything we were looking forward to, really.
All the summer movies that were kind of all those big superhero movies. We've seen all of them, I think, now.
Yep. I haven't seen Star Trek yet. That's
okay.
My list. But
That technically wasn't on the original list, so we can make
true.
An amended
yeah.
list.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do a part
I did
two.
See Jason Bourne, and I know that was on the original list. For me.
I did not see Jason Bourne, so I won't be able to give a point-counterpoint discussion about
that's
Jason
fine.
Bourne.
Have you seen any of the Bourne movies?
I know Franka Potenza was in some of them. Was she in the new one?
No.
See? Then what's the deal? She was my favorite part of the whole thing.
Okay, she died.
Yeah, she did.
Spoiler alert, she's
okay.
dead.
Okay. That shows how much I kept up on on the movie franchise.
Like 10 years ago, she was killed off.
Oh, okay. So she didn't make it to the Jeremy Renner one, is what you're saying.
Oh, thank God, no.
Okay.
No, I don't think she would have done that to herself.
For the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's happy with how that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess we'll start. Let's start most recent. And
okay.
We'll work our way backwards.
Okay, that's fair.
You and I got together last week, and we went to see
Suicide Squad.
I feel like that was the most controversially set up one. Like, there was a lot of hype behind that movie.
There was a ton of hype behind that movie.
A lot of talk, studio talk.
They did reshoots for it after, I believe after Batman Superman came out, went back and did reshoots.
Yeah. A lot of things about that movie. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Let's start with first initial impressions. You want to flip a coin to see who goes first? Like Two-Face would?
Okay. Yeah,
all right, here we go.
Two-Face coin. You're going to die.
Wrong coin. Sorry. All right. There you go. Heads, it's you. Go ahead.
Okay. My initial impression was that, I guess my first reaction was DC did it again. Like, a ton of hype.
When you say that, not DC did it again.
Hey, Marvel did it again.
No, you mean
no.
That.
I mean DC did it again.
Okay.
And in fact, there was a ton of hype. Let me start with the good. It was enjoyable. Like, I had fun watching the movie. I did not have. I don't know how to do Suicide Squad without bringing in some bits of Batman Superman. So I got to intersperse that here. I didn't have fun watching Batman Superman. I was kind of sitting there. Really hoping. There's a lot of hope involved in Batman and Superman.
A different kind of hype.
A lot of Kryptonian hope that didn't come through. Anyways, so I had fun during Suicide Squad. I laughed some. I love the Batman cameos. I'm a Batfleck fan. Like, I like Ben Affleck in that role.
Okay.
I think it's the only redeeming quality about the recent DC universe. But it just kind of fizzled. Like, they tried to do a lot, as they always do, with like a 2-hour window. A lot of characters just kind of thrown at you. You don't know where they came from. Mm-hmm. Why is there an Australian guy there? Did they only include him so they could include a Flash teaser? I think so.
Okay. My question to that was, does Captain Boomerang actually have any superpowers?
We were just talking about this a minute ago, and I'm pretty sure just being Australian is a superpower. If we have any listeners in Australia, you can let me know about that.
The Australian standard for superpower.
I mean, they basically live on the deadliest fucking continent in the world. You got to have some kind of superhuman abilities to
just like
just
so that's
to survive.
Like breaking even down there. That's just like being a person.
Basically,
is what we consider a
it's
superpower.
It's like okay, on Krypton, Superman's totally fucking normal.
Exactly.
When he comes to Earth, he's Superman.
Very
in Australia,
wise.
You're just, you know, par for the course. When you get to America, in an American prison, you're all of a sudden a super team.
That's a very wise statement. I like your outlook on this. Captain Boomerang was actually my favorite character in Suicide Squad. Who was your favorite?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he was like the most fun. I'll just jump in really quick, and I'll say I feel kind of similarly. I enjoyed Suicide Squad. I obviously left the theater with thoughts and some questions.
A lot of
but
questions.
Overall, I would say I enjoyed it, and I certainly enjoyed it more than Batman v Superman.
Yes. Yeah, it was more fun.
Yeah,
and I think if I remember correctly, reading interviews after the initial reviews of Batman vs. Superman, they went back and did reshoots to make it more fun. Because a lot of the criticisms about Batman and Superman were that it was just doom and gloom throughout the whole fucking thing. Mm. Like, I mean, I get Batman's dark. Like, he's supposed to be dark. That's fine. But he killed like 1,500 people in that movie. actually killed them. Extras didn't make it out of there alive.
the actors.
Ben Affleck beat them to death.
That makes sense.
And so I believe I read that they went back and tried to add some levity to it, because initially I remember they were kind of doing the anti-Marvel. They were saying, like, there's going to be no fun in our movies.
Yeah, no jokes.
Like, no jokes, no humor, like, no levity at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're serious. This is a serious universe about a man who can talk to fish and comes from other planets and dresses like a bat and stands toe-to-toe with Wonder Woman. I should really preface this whole conversation with, like, I am a lifelong Batman fan. Like, he is, like, one of my favorite superheroes. But they've...
He's had a rocky road in the movie world. It's been a...
There was
peaks and valleys.
There was a trilogy of hope in there, in the middle. But, ups and downs. And some more downs.
Yeah, that was one thing I read about Suicide Squad was, not just that there were reshoots, but, that there were people who left the film. I don't know the reasoning behind it, whether they were fired or whether they left on their own accord, but there were, I believe, three different editors for the movie.
I had heard that, yeah. They just kind of...
And for whatever reason, you know, the first guy left, so they handed what he did over to another guy who also left. They handed that to a third guy, which I think part of the thing for me that I felt about Suicide Squad was that it was... I felt like it was paced very strangely. Some things were really rushed.
Choppy.
Some things were really, you know, were really... like, paced out nicely.
And it's interesting that you said that, because I remember feeling distinctly like it almost feels like someone else made this scene and someone else did this scene.
Yes.
Like, it was very chopped up.
And so I wonder how much of, you know, talking about three different editors, like, that's three different styles and a very important role in the movie, and how much they went back and forth, you know, with what each other had done.
Yeah. Interesting.
And even, I remember my first thing is, you know, the movie, like, starts and it just goes.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, within the first, like, 3 minutes, they're already, like, they're just jumping into the story. No backlog, no intros, just jumping in. And I was like, oh we're in. We're just going.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And I had to, like, reset my brain.
Choke on the popcorn. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I got to
Exactly. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, right. All right. And so that was, like, almost it was like a jarring start that it just started so quick.
Yeah.
Which maybe not necessarily is a bad thing, just it caught me off guard.
For sure.
And
Yeah. You really got to focus from the get-go.
Yeah, like, and Batman v Superman was like an hour and a half of your setup.
Yes, you could take a nap, get some coffee, and like a Danish.
Exactly.
And then plot would happen.
Exactly. So it's like, it's the opposite of that. Maybe that was part of what they wanted.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's supposed to be the anti-Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. I mean, there's all this talk about studio executives getting their hands in things too much. Did you read that letter that came out this week? Who was a guy who worked at Warner Brothers?
I saw the headline. I didn't actually read the letter.
Whether or not his letter was true, and I won't speculate as to backstage politics at Warner Brothers, but he basically, you can read it, you can see, but he basically says, you know, too many people had their hands in the pot. No one's focused on what they actually say they're going to be focused on, and that's what leads to these movies.
And unfortunately, the pot is still being stirred with Zack Snyder's dick.
Well, that was one of his things. He says, you know, if a butcher did a shitty job as a butcher, he'd be fired as a butcher. Why is Zack Snyder still making movies for them?
And I do remember feeling like a slight glimmer of hope when they announced that Jeff Johns was writing Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe Zack Snyder is still directing
he's their number one guy for whatever reason that I don't understand.
Are not Joss Whedon, sir.
He made it to the peak, and they have no plan on replacing him, and I have no idea why.
Yep. Going back, like, in his own, like, career, I enjoyed 300.
I think that's the last thing I really enjoyed. Yep. Like, he made
Watchmen was tough. Watchmen's tough to watch.
And Sucker Punch. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, my God. Dude, I wish I didn't.
The hype machine behind that made it look amazing. Yep. And I remember seeing it in the theater and being so disappointed.
Yep. Bait and Switch is what that movie was.
Yeah, yeah. And it had so much potential to be cool. And that's sort of how I feel
really
about
that movie, like, cemented in my mind that Zack Snyder can't direct his own material. He did really cool adaptation of 300.
Mm-hmm.
A passable adaptation of Watchmen, even though that was another WB, like, DC Comics clusterfuck.
Right, and that was even, maybe not necessarily, I don't know who made the creative decision that they said, we're going to keep it to the book. Like, word for word to the book.
Except for the ending.
Except for the ending.
There was no dying alien squid.
Spoiler alert. except for the ending, but that also, you know, put him in a very compromising position because, you know,
yeah,
when they say, like, we're gonna do an experiment and do it exactly like the book, that's a bold move.
I have to wonder, like, what was going through the minds of the WB execs looking at his past career and being like, let's give this guy total creative control.
He's got the helm. Let him run.
Like, oh yeah, we had Christopher Nolan, but he's yesterday's news. Let's give it to Zack Snyder. He did that thing with the chicks.
Mm-hmm. Remember that? Oh, so many boobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually didn't actually get to see.
Nope.
Bait and Switch, sir.
Oh, Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
So much hope in that. But it's tough when you, like, I mean, Batman v Superman, it was clearly, like, that was their tentpole movie. That was their Avengers, you know?
Yeah.
And Justice League, I guess, is going to be the next tentpole, but, and it's hard to live up to that hype. The first Avengers movie, for whatever reason, whether, you know, timing, how it was presented.
Oh, they killed it.
But it was like, it was done so right. Mm-hmm. So many things were done exactly right. I guess they do have Disney backing them.
Well, I was going to say, it's almost like a rivalry that I can remember going back to my childhood between Disney and Warner Brothers. Bugs Bunny will never be done as well as Mickey Mouse. No matter, like, he's fun, he's enjoyable to watch, he doesn't have, like, whoever's steering Disney through the years knows what the fuck they're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They know which properties they're buying.
Mm-hmm.
They now own Marvel and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
good move.
Yeah.
Good move.
I mean, maybe Warner Brothers will make a grab for Star Trek from Paramount, but I don't think that's going to happen. But it's almost like this continued rivalry from cartoons now to, like, live-action adaptations that Disney just does it better.
Yeah. It's... I'm waiting for the Marvel movie that tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to happen.
I mean,
it's an inevitability.
You can argue that, like, Iron Man 2 or 3, they were subpar, but they weren't tanks.
They all were successes. There has not been a Marvel movie that has, like, lost money or gotten completely critically panned. For whatever reason, Marvel movies, acknowledging that they're comic book movies, acknowledging their campiness, and everything else that goes into being a comic book movie, they get good reviews.
Yeah.
Like, they're written well. People get behind it. The, you know, the industry itself,
they have that, like, fun yet suspenseful vibe. Like, they're enjoyable to watch. Even Civil War, which I know you and I discussed initially, might have been one of the weaker Captain America movies. It's it's a lot of fucking fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's Spider-Man. They had Ant-Man. Like, it was just all over the place.
Yeah. Well, let's move to that. Let's talk about Civil War, which we saw, man, 2 months ago at this point?
A couple years ago, was it?
A couple years ago? Yeah. Yeah, that was another one. That one, again, an enjoyable movie. But I loved the Civil War comic book.
Me too.
Loved it. It in fact, was the book that got me back
into
reading.
Yeah, we agreed on that. Like, that is... Like, I read that probably my freshman year in college when it was out, when it was fresh.
Exactly.
And it pulled me... I started collecting again through college.
Yep.
And, yeah.
And the changes that they made to the story... I recognize you have to make changes for the movie universe.
Right.
I get it. But I just didn't... There were so many things that I had problems with.
I think the broad criticism I could make is that it came too early. Like, I think if they had waited until post-Infinity War storylines, you would have established literally a universe of these heroes. Because they've released the poster for Infinity War and, like...
Did they?
Three-quarters cast list. Everyone from Charlie Cox as, like, TV-level Daredevil up to Cap.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
All the Netflix heroes are in there.
Oh, like I didn't
Luke Cage,
see that. Cool.
Doctor Strange is there. Jessica Jones.
Here's the question. Did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. get panned again?
Nope. What's his face? Coulson's in it.
Clark Gregg.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Because that was a big thing that they were complaining about. This is going back again. We're catching up on a lot of material here in this podcast.
Yeah.
6 months.
Well, like, I haven't actually caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I know the ongoing thing was like they have bits of the movies in them, but no one mentions those people in subsequent movies.
And the actors have been publicly complaining at Comic-Con, etc., during their interviews, saying like, "Guys, you said we're all connected." But you completely
leave us in the dust. You're the awkward cousins. There were some storyline changes. You're still there. You're okay. We'll bring in Coulson. Coulson can play.
Yeah, exactly. Coulson, he's cool.
But I think it came too early. Like, Civil War in the comic, like, was so deep with its, like, implications. And it was so much more than just the Avengers being controlled by the UN. They wanted all these, you know, vigilantes to reveal their identities.
Mm-hmm.
It was like everyone knows who the Avengers are. They're on the news all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the movie thing, you know.
Like the core of the story dug deeper in the book.
And, I mean, I remember one of the earth-shattering things in the comic series, spoiler alert, was Spider-Man going public as Peter Parker to show his consolidation with Iron Man and their cause.
Mm-hmm. And then him switching teams... And going
at
to the
end,
Cap
he realized,
side
like,
was like the pivot of the book.
Yeah.
That's where the book took a turn, and didn't do that in the movie.
Nope.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. That didn't happen in the movie. In fact, half the movie is introducing Spider-Man.
Yep. And a big problem that I have, my biggest complaint with that movie was I just felt like the whole thing could have been avoided if they just like talked for 5 minutes about it, like normal adults just. Actually talked.
Like, Tony, you're in a bad mood today.
Yeah.
Let's...
Hey, can we just actually talk about this and do something?
Let's talk about the woman who confronted you backstage.
Can we just... We don't need to punch each other. We don't need to do this whole thing. We could just talk. Okay, movie. I realize that's a way worse movie. It's 20 minutes long.
Right.
You know?
Can my old best friend come back and join the team now? Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He was framed. I promise. We don't believe you. Why don't you believe him?
Why are the Black Panthers here?
What? Like, what's...
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I felt like could have been resolved just if they had chatted politely. Maybe that's the whole crux of the movie is politeness.
And another thing they left out, like, the Thor thing was a huge
Thor
thing
not being there
in the comics because they fucking cloned him and that went horribly, horribly wrong. People literally died. And then Thor came back, and he was very grumpy about having been cloned. In fact, one of my, like, favorite Thor comic scenes, like, of all the Thor comics, is post-Civil War, like, Tony's flying around in his Iron Man suit, and it's a thunderstorm, and he's like, oh, this is so bad. And sure enough, like, Thor grabs him, pops his helmet off, like, with his thumb, and was like, let me show you the difference between a god and a man in a tin suit, and why you don't clone me.
I do
and
remember
he
that.
He schooled him.
There was also a really good scene in the comic book, which was post-Civil War, which was Thor, I guess, killing I guess you kill clones. They're alive, right?
Yeah, sure.
Him killing the clone like, yeah. Like smashing the hammer mm-hmm. like through his face and just basically like being like, nope, nope. This yep. is not how it's done.
And those moments are always like when you remember like Thor is he's still a god.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he's still your heavy hitter.
I think the one critique I had when they first introduced him with the Avengers is they showed him almost like they had that little 5-minute battle between him, Cap, and Iron Man in the first Avengers, mm-hmm. and it was almost like they're even. But if Thor wants his brother back, he's going to fucking take his brother back.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite part of both of the Avengers movies, the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
also not in Civil War,
right? Which they explained because he's off with Thor, and Ragnarok is coming,
doing something.
It's yeah. Ragnarok meets Planet Hulk, basically.
Oh,
you didn't see the thing? Yeah, they released the sketches of the armor he's going to be wearing in
really?
Ragnarok. Yeah,
ooh,
very
okay.
Planet Hulky, which is a good storyline. So I'm kind of excited for that.
Yeah, agreed. What else came out in the time that we were?
There was some kind of Batman movie, which we already kind of covered as being a colossal disappointment. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about Deadpool, because that was spring.
Deadpool? Well, let's just go over Deadpool again really quick.
Yeah.
Deadpool? One of my favorites of all the ones that have come out.
Yep. They really brought a lot of life back to the mutant storylines.
Oh, God. Because
like the 20th Century Fox yeah. stuff, only to have it stomped out like 2 months later by X-Men Apocalypse. But for 2 months, there was God. Hope for mutants.
Deadpool, certainly a high point on the X-Men movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men Apocalypse, not
the lowest point, not a high point.
Agreed. Yeah.
But I mean, they included two X-Men in Deadpool, and they were better written than the other 5 or 6 movies that have been made.
Yeah.
Like just these, you know, 15 minutes of Colossus and...
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah, Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Finally, they got Colossus right in a movie.
Yep. And I remember like reading all the interviews like afterwards when they were complaining, why doesn't he transform?
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Reynolds basically said, like, we had a budget choice to make. Like, we spent a lot of money to get him because 20th Century Fox basically said, oh, we're done with this character. Like, he's mm-hmm. not that cool. And you're like, no, he's actually pretty cool. but they couldn't afford the effects to make him transform. So they basically had to. They could only afford to have him in metal mode the entire time.
Hmm. Okay.
Which, I mean, they're already announced sequels to Deadpool have been yep. greenlit.
Yep.
Hopefully the execs keep their fucking hands off it and just let the same creative team do their thing.
Yep.
It was a first-time director, I think. It was like his first major feature.
Oh, cool.
I don't remember his name because he was a first-time director. But,
yep.
He didn't Zack Snyder it, so that was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely...
it was like a perfect storm, I want to describe. Like, Deadpool was like the perfect storm. The execs were like so disinterested in it, they didn't touch it.
Exactly.
And they just kind of let Ryan Reynolds and the director do their own thing.
It was definitely the most fun of the comic book movies that I've seen in a while. Yeah, it's so funny, man. That's another franchise that they just keep
mm-hmm.
putting nails in the coffin with these X-Men movies. And... Apocalypse, another one that had hype. It had Oscar Isaacs in it.
Who is like, awesome.
Like
incredible actor.
Yeah. And that was another one. We saw that together.
Yep.
And we were in the theater, and I remember just like leaning over to you and going, what is going on?
Why are we in
How
Egypt?
Does this... What's like, the... Who, yeah. So that guy could do that now? Okay, whatever. And we just had to go, whatever, and just
yeah.
let the
yeah,
movie
yeah, just
go.
Had to ride. Just...
And then I think after the movie, when it ended, we both looked at each other and I went, what did we just watch?
Yeah.
What movie was this?
I feel like the last like 2 or 3 X-Men's, they've tried to do like X-Men versions of the Avengers, and just have like all these people like kind of big team, big battles.
Mm-hmm.
And, what the fuck? you can't. No,
well, it's it only just 800 X-Men's
yeah.
for them to choose from.
They always choose the same ones. For some reason, Mystique's in charge.
And it's always Hugh Jackman is Wolverine, even though they've recast everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just.
I'm pretty sure that he just has dibs until he decides to not want dibs anymore.
Well, they were saying...
And the next one's his last one.
Next one's his last yeah. one. They're saying it might be Old Man Logan.
I heard differently now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I heard... I don't remember. The title is Weapon X.
That's right. I did hear the title is Weapon
yeah.
X, correct.
And I believe they dispelled the rumors that it's going to be Old Man Logan, which is... Actually, I'm really glad because there's no way the 20th Century Fox could do an Old Man Logan storyline... Yeah. without paying a buttload of money to Marvel and Disney to even use names, because mm-hmm. Old Man Logan is Red Skull, Hawkeye, Hulk, mm-hmm. Cap. All these people, they legally cannot even touch.
They'll just find some X-universe versions of all those characters.
Initially, I heard rumors that they're going to have, like, Doom in place of Red Skull. But then right. that yep. Fantastic Four thing happened, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, this would be a horrible... this would be so much worse than X-Men The Last Stand.
Oh.
I mean, I remember being so excited when Psylocke was going to finally be included.
Why was she even in the movie?
I mean, I like Psylocke. I'm a big Psylocke fan.
I agree with you.
Mainly for the costuming, but...
I'm even...
there's
I'm
cool
even,
swords.
I'm even an Olivia Munn fan.
Yeah.
Like, I got nothing against her. Mm-hmm. Just her character in that movie, to me... was so confusing and so borderline pointless, and
it was as confusing as the Steven Tyler country album that just came on the PA here.
I didn't realize that's who the country album was by. Okay,
yep.
Now it's weird in now, here.
There was a laser whip. Remember her laser whip? Never one of her powers. Not even a little bit.
And in the and her final scene with her walking away, I don't really understand. I'm getting too deep. I'm thinking about it too much. I'm sorry. Let it go.
High points, Quicksilver.
Always.
So much better than the Marvel Disney Quicksilver.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Taylor Thomas?
Yeah, whatever that guy's name is.
He's looking good since Home Improvement.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. I think he's going backwards in age.
He's doing well.
He's very well. Yes, he's doing very well. Quite well for himself. but the Quicksilver they have in the Mutant Universe, I think, is superior. They obviously spend a couple million in his scenes alone just to get him to look cool.
Well, he was the high point. His first appearance, yeah. That whole scene, he was the high point of that movie, and I think they knew that, and they're like, we have to do it again, and we have to do it better.
But I will say, and I mean, we're a month late for this one, too, spoiler alerts can't be that spoilery, I guess, but the Wolverine cameo mm-hmm. was probably the most badass... It's what you wanted every single Wolverine movie to be.
Yes.
Like, he slaughtered everybody. Everybody fucking died.
Killed a lot of people.
There was a lot of blood. There were, like, I'm pretty sure off-screen he was torturing them. There was, like, screaming that mm-hmm. no mortal man should make, and that's what you want from, like, a Wolverine movie.
And that was definitely, I remember when we were in the theater, there's that whole scene where they're leading up where he's in the cage and you, like, hear mm-hmm. him breathing, and I remember I had Jenny sitting next to me and I tap her on the arm. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we're finally...
Game time.
We're in. We're finally going to get a good scene. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't know who that is, but that's fine. You know, she... I'm sure she enjoyed it.
Shirtless, don't say anything else and don't ruin this for me.
Shirtless Huge Jack Man. Mm-hmm. So you can't mm-hmm. go wrong. Either way, it's a win. Yeah. I won and she won.
Exactly.
I shouldn't say that. She knows who Wolverine is.
I hope so.
Who doesn't know who Wolverine is?
Probably somebody.
I'm going to poll the store. Everyone knows.
Yeah, everyone in here probably knows.
Yeah.
Maybe not that guy. Oh. Yep, I gotta go.
All right, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do part two of this episode. Mm-hmm.
We got more to cover.
It'll be out next week. It'll be out shortly. How's about that? Good? Okay.
Are we combo packaging these? Are we doing like one and two? Or are we like...
This is going to be part one. Next one will be Dorkside 2.
Okay.
Dorkside United. No?
Okay. I think we established that we shouldn't use X-Men references.
Okay.
That's just a...
So this one will be... I guess this one is technically Dorkside 2 because it's the second episode.
That's true. Yeah.
So this one can be Dorkside 2...
Age of Dorkside?
Age of Dorkness? I like that. That's what we're going to use. Okay. I will cover all the rest of the movies that we didn't talk about. That'll be in the next one. So stay tuned.
Civil War, where we talk about Jason Bourne and all his merits. There will be rifts.
So until that one. Did we have a sign-off? I don't remember.
I don't think we've ever had a proper sign-off.
Okay.
Bye.
Stay nerdy.
Sure can party!